Hallelujah. Good morning. Can y'all hear me okay? Well, Peter and I were talking. We'll give the message for this morning. And we were considering that to be here this morning at 9:30 a.m. is already a victory. It's so good to see all of you. Well, this morning, we're covering the message on Christ's ascension. It's a lesson 11. Well, actually, we'll also read a portion in our lesson book. So the past couple of days, we've been covering Christ's person and his work. You know, you can consider that Christ did a lot. He took many steps. What were some of the steps? He became a man. God became a man. That's incarnation, right? And then he had a human living, the highest proper human living. And then he died. He was crucified. And last night, as we saw, he not only died, but he resurrected. But is that all? Actually, Christ not only resurrected, as soon as he resurrected, he ascended. And actually, just consider that this message that the brothers, Peter and I will be sharing, can almost be considered the sweetest message of this whole week. And we're about to bring out why. You know, this matter of ascension is not just something that happened as a fact. It did happen. But you just consider that with the Bible, the truths in the Bible, there's an aspect that's objective and there's an aspect that's subjective. So again, objective has nothing to do with us. Whether we believe in it or not, whether we know it or not, it happened. Christ was a man. Christ was crucified and Christ resurrected and Christ ascended. But in all these messages, especially in this matter of Christ's ascension, this can be considered his final step. And this is what makes all the foregoing steps so real and applicable to us. Without Christ's ascension, we can't experience his salvation in a full way. For example, with the Lord's precious blood, we can claim it at any time. Where do we get the blood? We get it when he died on the cross for us. But without the Lord's ascension, he would not have been able to apply the blood to us. Okay, so I want to read a couple verses and you can follow along. So this is Acts 5:31. Okay, Acts 5:31. This one God has exalted to his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Because of his ascension, because of Christ's ascension, we can experience his complete salvation. You know, on the cross, all the negative things were put away, right? All our sins, our old man has been crucified with him. And then in his resurrection, we were brought into his life. Wasn't so good to see that his life breaks through all the bounds. But in his ascension, he is the Lord and he is the Christ. So I'll go straight away into the outline in Roman numerals 1. I just read it and you can follow along. In his ascension, Christ was made the Lord. Jesus is Lord. The little man from Nazareth had been made head over all things. That's not all. Number 2, in his ascension, Jesus was also made the Christ. Christ means he is God's anointed one to accomplish God's plan. So when Christ ascended, he became the Christ. That's what we can call on his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's anointed, and he is the one that now is qualified. He went through all the process. He went through all these steps. He was kind of tested, and he passed with flying colors. He ascended to, now he is God's anointed to accomplish his plan. And so now as we go through, you just consider his ascension, and this is Roman numeral 3, was his inauguration. Maybe you've heard of this word, maybe you haven't. It's usually related to, well, here in the U.S., when the president is elected, you know, we vote in November every 4 years, but he's not inaugurated until a few months later. So it's in his inauguration he was officially made the Christ and the Lord. But this was all made official in his ascension. Okay, so this is all kind of the facts. This is the objective things that happened. And I hope this would bring us into appreciation. So this happened over 2,000 years ago. Even when he was on the earth, the Lord only did his work, which can be considered his earthly ministry, for just 3.5 years. But then after that, he died, he resurrected, he ascended. Is he now just sitting back, just relaxing? No, actually, he's actually more busy. So this is where I want to bring forth in Roman numeral 4. In his ascension, Christ has a heavenly ministry. What does that mean? That's just what he's doing in the heavens today. For over 2,000 years, he is busy, very active, working. And so these three things, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is head over all things to the church. And he is our great high priest. And this is where we kind of want to pause on here. You just consider, you know, you may hear, okay, that's great, Mark. Christ ascended. But what does this have to do with me? You just consider, because now he's been made the Lord and he's been made the Christ. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. And whether we realize it or not, he is sovereign, working behind all the scenes. Okay, so now I want to read a short portion from your lesson book. If you have your lesson book, you can follow along. This is under Christ as the head. For me, it's page 112. Okay, this is just one paragraph. In his addition to his sovereignty over the nation, Christ also exercised his headship. Just as head over all things to the church, he works to gain his chosen vessels. We're all his chosen vessels. Okay, and the Lord did this in Saul of Tarsus. Now I'll just read parts of the second paragraph. Do not think that your salvation is a small thing. It was accomplished because the Lord Jesus exercised his rulership. He arranged that you should be born in the country that you were born. Your place of birth was not accidental, but under his administration. You were born in the right country, the right town, the right family. At the right time, he brought you to himself. You may have been in America, China, Europe, South America. One day he arranged for you to be in a certain spot, and you repented, believed, and you were saved. Okay, now it says here, now explain this. If you have been in Moscow, the opportunity to be saved and now to be reading this lesson might not have come to you. It was under the king's rulership that you got saved. Now, you might wonder the second to last sentence, why is it put there? Because actually, I believe when this was put forth, this was actually still when there was still the USSR under communism. Many people could not know God. But actually, hallelujah, within one day in the late 80s, in 1989, the doors were open. And now even salvation is reaching to all over the earth, to the USSR. You know, there's still places here on earth today that the gospel is not open to. But the Lord, he knows what he's doing. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. You know, sometimes not in these past days, we just don't know what's going on. But actually, we have to believe in faith that he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the one administrating. Okay, so now just kind of a personal testimony. I wasn't born in this country, actually. And I just realized looking back, I didn't know it when I was growing up. I was just with my family. My parents, actually, they were born and raised in the Philippines. I don't know if some of you knew that. But actually, my dad, he was in the medical profession, and he had wanted to come to the U.S. I don't know. Many people want to come to the U.S. But actually, in that time, this was decades ago. The U.S. for some reason wasn't issuing out visas to foreign graduates. He was already a medical doctor. And so we went to Taiwan, and that's where I was born. But actually, right at that same time, there was something that happened in church history, even in our history, that was negative, that kind of just could take away from our enjoyment, not just of Christ, but even the church life, you know, our enjoyment of Christ with other believers. And the focus isn't on what happened, but actually realizing it was sovereign. My dad just moved because of his job. Maybe some of you guys had to move because of your parents' job. It's not an accident. And even you just consider this matter of what I just read was on our salvation, but actually not just being saved. You know, the Lord does so much in all our environment. You know, he's done a lot even in this pandemic, but even in years past, to bring us to the point where we need to be in order to be saved. And I just feel even just the matter, a few years later, my family had to move again because of my dad's job. You know, I was looking back before, it's not easy to move around. I mean, you just kind of get uprooted from where you are. You have to make new friends. You have to be in a new school. You know, just looking back, I move probably every 3 to 5 years. It's not easy. I mean, it's fun to travel. It's fun to visit places, but to just be uprooted, to go to new places, it wasn't easy at that time. But I could say I was so thankful. I'm so thankful now that the Lord was exercising his rulership. And one last example, even eventually, this is something personal. I had to decide where I wanted to go for college. And, you know, I applied to colleges. I didn't get accepted to all the schools that I applied to. I got accepted to certain schools. And the funny thing is, actually, the school I eventually went to was actually probably pretty low on the bottom of my list because I had another pursuit. You know, when I was a teenager, I was just into that hobby, into that sport. But realizing when I went on campus, again, the school doesn't matter, but the point was the Lord was sovereign in arranging where I went to. And then I got to meet the brothers and sisters. Then I got to be in the homes of the families. I hope, you know, you're in junior high, you're in high school. Eventually, even where you decide to go to college, you know, it's not that the Lord, we just have to trust in the Lord. I think we do our part, but the Lord, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the one exercising his sovereignty and his headship that he would gain us. You know, you know, we're going to have small groups later. Maybe you could consider, you could start by asking the serving ones, but even amongst yourselves, amongst the young people, maybe you can consider this. You can write this down. Consider how the Lord has sovereignly arranged your situation or your family situation to save you or to save your family or to bring you into meeting the brothers and sisters, into the enjoyment, not just of Christ, but even the enjoyment of the church life. Anyway, I have to move on. This matter of the ascended Christ, this is letter C. He's also ministering to our inward need, you know? So, you know, what I just mentioned, he's just kind of working behind the scenes. So he's far away. You know, we're just kind of sovereignly, things happen to us. But actually, personally, subjectively, this is so sweet. He is our high priest, okay? Hebrews tells us that Christ is our great high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. You know, consider the high priest in the Old Testament was a person who once a year, you know, this is in Hebrews 9, it says, once a year went into the Holy of Holies. So only once a year, he brings a case of himself. He has to be covered in blood, brings his case before him and the whole of God's people, the children of Israel, in the Holy of Holies. But actually today, Christ is our great high priest. You know, earlier we sang, for we do not have a high priest who cannot. So that first line, there's two double negatives. We do not have a high priest who cannot. The double negatives become, we do have a high priest. Christ in his ascension is our great high priest. And he can sympathize with the feeling of our weakness. I don't know about you. Sometimes, you know, I need a lot of help in a lot of things. And I do get help. But sometimes I just need someone to listen to. And, you know, I can talk to my wife. I can talk to the brothers. I can talk to the ones I work with, I serve with. But actually, sometimes I just don't understand, or at least, you know, they can sympathize, but only to an extent. And there are some things where I feel like I can't tell anyone. It's just kind of, what do I do with this feeling, with this burden within me? But Christ is the one who not once a year, but all the time, moment by moment, because he's become the Spirit, he is within us, and he is our great high priest. So we can come forward to him. We can just come forward. And we can just open to him. Anyway, I think my time is up, but just realizing what Christ has done in his ascension. He not only resurrected, but he ascended. He is made Lord and Christ. That's the facts, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not. But actually, we can experience personally, so subjectively, so sweetly, as the one working in our, hidden behind every scene. He's working in our environment. And he's our great high priest, sympathizing with us. I'll pass it now to my brother Peter.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Well, brothers and sisters, I think what our brother said at the beginning is so right. You know, when I was preparing for the sharing this morning, I also felt this is so sweet. And you all who are able to make it up at 9:30 a.m., you're going to get a sweet breakfast. It's already been really sweet, right? It's only going to get sweeter. So we're in touch with the sharing on what our brother has shared so far. You know, this message, Christ's ascension, answers a very important question that many believers, including myself, have asked. And that is, what is Christ doing today? Right? Our brother said Christ went through all of this process that you all have been hearing this whole week. But what is he doing now? Has he accomplished everything? Well, he has, yes, in a sense, accomplished everything in his earthly ministry. But today, Christ is actually very busy and very active, and he's doing a lot, right? And we saw in Roman numeral 4, right, there are three things, right? We should learn these three things that Christ is doing today, right? The first is that he is the ruler. Right. This is towards the world. Towards the world, Christ today is ruling over the world situation, even our own situations. Right. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Then Christ today in ascension, he's also the head. This is towards the body, the church as his body. Right. The Lord arranges our environments, and not just for our initial salvation, but the Lord even continues to arrange our environments, continues to rule over our environments so that we could grow in him. We could grow in him. And then this last point, C, oh, it's so precious, right? Today, Christ is also the high priest, right? This is towards the believers, towards the believers. So he's the ruler, he's the head, and he is the high priest. He is the high priest. Okay, so now let's, I think maybe we could do this. Then in point C, maybe we could read C together again under Roman numeral 4. Okay, let's read C again. The ascended Christ is also ministering to our inward need. Hebrews tells us that Christ is our great high priest who can sympathize with our weakness. You know, I want to repeat the verse our brother brought out, Hebrews 7:25. Please highlight or circle this verse in your outline under point C. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Hence also he is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him, since he lives always to intercede for them." Brothers and sisters, our God is able. He is able. And what is he able to do? He is able to save to the uttermost. You know, the word in the Greek, in the original language here, the to the uttermost, it means completely, perfectly, to the end, until eternity. Our God is able to save you and save me completely. He's able to save us perfectly. He's able to save us to the end. And he's able to save us until eternity. But who does he save? Oh, the verse says, those who come forward to God. Those who come forward to God. If you want God to save you to the end, you have to practice coming forward to God. That's why our brother recommended in the message, right? We need to learn to talk to the Lord, give everything to the Lord. And that's why we've been having these morning revival sessions on most days of the week, right? Is we want to practice coming forward to God. And it's not just our coming forward to God that saves us, strictly speaking. The verse says, when we come forward to God through him, it says he lives always to intercede for them. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, today God is very busy, our Lord, our ascended Christ, he's busy praying for us. You know, I'm sure your parents pray for you. And I'm sure some, those of you who have companions, maybe you're as companions, you pray together. But did you ever realize that the one who's praying for you the most, who never has never stopped praying for you, is Christ, is Christ. Can you imagine what if the Lord didn't pray for us? Wow, I can't even imagine. But thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, our Christ lives always to intercede for us. He lives always to pray for us. Actually, there's a lot I could say here because Romans 8 uses this word intercede, I think, two or three times. So there's a lot we can say here about how he prays for us. But today we don't have the time. You just need to appreciate and realize that, this ascended Christ is living always to intercede, to pray for us. Amen. So that we would be saved completely, we would be saved perfectly, and we would be saved until the end, until the end. Okay. Now, on this point, I also want to share something that I enjoyed recently about how the Lord helps us in our temptations, how the Lord helps us in our temptations. There's a verse in Hebrews also, in Hebrews chapter 2, that says that the Lord was that the Lord himself being tempted in that which he himself has suffered, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The Lord is able to help those. As our high priest, the ascended Christ, is able to help those who are being tempted. Brothers and sisters, have you ever been tempted? Well, you know, sometimes we think of temptation as a certain thing, but recently I realized, especially in talking with my wife, wow, oftentimes I'm tempted to overeat. Have you ever been tempted to overeat? Did you know that food even can be a temptation? You know, in the New Testament, actually, there's one verse that says that with some, their stomach is their God. Wow, their stomach is their God. Okay, I wasn't going to share that, but my point is, we all go through temptations. Now, this is what I really enjoyed and appreciated from the ministry. Okay. The Lord says he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, the full meaning of the word help in this verse means to help, to rescue by coming to a person and then putting this person on you and carrying this person. So this is not a help or a rescue in the way that you just rescue a drowning person. Hey, I'm here to rescue you, drowning man, right? It's not like that. It doesn't just mean to grab hold of a person and then pull him out of a dangerous situation. This is in the original language, this is not how the Lord helps us, just grabs you and then takes you out. No, it means to get into a person, to put him upon you, to carry him. The Lord, the way he helps us is he puts us upon him and then he carries us. This is the way that the Lord helps us and rescues us. For example, when you have a difficult time, you know, we all need the Lord's help. And the way the high priest, our ascended Christ, helps us is he doesn't just stretch forth his finger and he say, all right, come out of there. You can do it. No, when, brothers and sisters, when we are suffering, the Lord will come to us. He will come to you and he will put you on himself. And then he will carry you through this difficult time. This is the work of our high priest. And when our high priest, our Christ in ascension, carries us, we will never again feel threatened by any difficulty. Isn't that wonderful? I really appreciate that. Anyway, everything I share with you is in the books. That is from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Okay, now let's read the next Roman numeral, Roman numeral 5, and we'll read all the points under, and then I'll just have my last concluding section, which is really my main burden. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 5 and all the points there under. Through Christ's resurrection and ascension, we have received both the inward content of life and the outward equipment of power. The first is essential and the second is economical. A, the essential inward aspect. One, as the Spirit, the Lord regenerated us. Our spirit is now born of the Spirit, and Christ now dwells in our spirit. Point two, it is by the Spirit that we enjoy Christ as our inward life. He is the Spirit that gives life. Point three, when we enjoy Christ in this way, he becomes our inward content. As such, he is the content of the church. As the body of Christ, we need to be filled with Christ as our life. Saints, we need to be filled with Christ as our life. Okay, point B, the economical outward aspect. The Holy Spirit was poured upon the body on the day of Pentecost. This baptism of the Holy Spirit was not for life essentially, but for power and authority economically. Two, the authority and power of the Spirit were to equip the disciples for the Lord's work. Okay, and then let's all read Roman numeral 6. Now we can enjoy and experience the life-giving Spirit as our life and life supply, and we can be clothed with him economically to dispense him to others. Our essential enjoyment of the Lord is so that we may work economically to spread him into others. Okay, I don't have time to explain too much here, but you just need to realize that as members of the body of Christ, we now possess both aspects of the Spirit mentioned here. We possess both the essential and the economical aspects of the Spirit. And the more we drink the Lord, enjoy him, and enjoy the Spirit and its essential aspect, the more economically we will be able to spread the Lord, dispense the Lord, and speak the Lord into others. Okay? All right. Now I will come to, it's really my main burden today, which is the experience of Christ's ascension, the experience of Christ's ascension. I want to say something about how we as young people, how we can experience Christ's ascension in our lives. And I point you to the first verse. I will leave with this. The first verse on this outline in the scripture reading is Ephesians 4:8. Ephesians 4:8 says this, therefore, the scripture says, having ascended to the height, he led captive those taken captive and gave gifts to men. You know, before Christ saved us, this point is so precious. Before Christ saved us, we were all Satan's captives. You were all Satan's prisoners. We were all Satan's prisoners, and we were all in the prison of death and in the prison of Hades. We were locked away in prison as a captive. But one day, Christ rose from the dead, and he took the keys of death and of Hades. But he didn't just take the keys of death and of Hades. Do you know what else Christ did? Ephesians 4:8 said he led captive those who had been taken captive. Who's the ones taken captive? That's us. So when Christ came out of the prison of death and of Hades, he led all of us who had been Satan's prisoners, who had been death's prisoners, out of the prison of death and out of the prison of Hades. Oh, we were death's captives, but no longer, because Christ led captive those taken captive. Christ was the first one to come out of death and of Hades, and he is our leader. And when he came out, he led all of us. There was a long line. There was a long procession in the universe. Oh, this long line was all of the sinners, all of us who were now freed. You know who was there? Brother Stephen Kwan, you were there. And Andrew, you were there. Mark, you were there in that long procession. All of us, we were all there in the long line of captives being led by the Lord out of the prison of death and of Hades. And where did the Lord take us? The Lord took us all out of prison into the third heaven. The verse says, having ascended to the height. Can you imagine what a scene in the universe that was? When Christ was resurrected and he ascended, I don't know. If I had on the divine and mystical goggles, I would have seen a long train of vanquished foes, of conquered enemies, of freed prisoners, of emancipated captives, straight out of Hades into the third heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ led us all out. This is the work of our ascended Christ. Now, he's led us out. So where are we now? the Bible says that we are now in ascension. This is the key point. Brothers and sisters, after having been led out, we are now in the third heaven. As the church, we occupy the highest position in the universe. In a sense, don't think you're a nobody. Don't think you're so lowly. You're not. You are higher than the president of the United States. You're higher than any president, any prime minister in the universe. I really mean it. You, as a member of the body of Christ, as part of the church, you occupy the highest position in the universe. And this is your normal position. Ascension is our normal position. If we see this, very few things will trouble us. Okay, now, so the first thing is you need to see, right? Okay, now this is my, and this is all part of one point, but this is really my final section. I just want to read to you from this. I printed out. This is how to apply the ascended Christ, okay? This is from the book, The All-Inclusive Christ, on chapter 3, on the goodness of the land, its ascendancy, applying the ascended Christ. I'm just going to read this. I won't add any commentary. Okay, here we go. You will enjoy this very much. Sometimes you say, I am quite depressed. Do you know what that means? It means that you are under the power of death. Whenever you feel depressed in spirit or in heart, it means that you are under the threatening of death. You are under the power of darkness. You must learn how to apply Christ, the ascended Christ, to your situation. You must contact Christ immediately. You must say, I do not agree to be depressed by any kind of situation. I have the ascended Christ. I am in the ascended Christ. You have to tell the Lord. You have to contact him. When you contact him, you will be resurrected. You will be ascended. For the Christ whom you contact is the Christ who has ascended to the heavens. When you contact him, you will be on the high mountains, not in the valleys. The problem is that when you feel depressed, you forget Christ. You forget that you have such a Christ who has ascended far above all. Brothers and sisters, how can you fight the battle within you? I will tell you. The only way is by being in the ascended Christ. In the heavens with this ascended Christ, you can fight against the enemy. The enemy will be under your feet. When you are depressed by Satan, when you have been put under his feet, how can you fight against him? You must realize that you are in the ascended Christ. You are seated in the heavens in Christ. And then Brother Lee says, I have the secret. Whenever I meet with troubles, I say, Lord, I praise you. Here is another opportunity for me to experience you. So apply Christ to your situation. Then you will experience Christ as the ascended one, and you will know that you have ascended with him too. What a salvation. What a deliverance. He is the living Christ who has ascended to the heavens. Brothers and sisters, he is the ascended Christ. We are in him. This is our normal position. Praise the Lord. Okay, so brothers and sisters, I think my brother and I, we have released this burden of matter of Christ's ascension. May you realize that our Lord has always been in control. He was in control. He's in control of the world situation. He was in control of your personal situations. He's in control of your past, your present, and your future. And he's not only in control as the ruler and the head, he is also the high priest. And every day our ascended Christ is busy and active in the heavens. He's ministering to you. He's supplying you. He's praying for you. He's advocating for you. The ascended Christ is our best advocate. He's our best prayer companion. And he is our most ready help. Our God is for you. This is our Christ in ascension. Praise the Lord.